So LinkedIn people rejoice if you haven't already. Like, because the system used to be so difficult. I mean, you had to have like a, you know, I mean, a PhD in programming to read and understand some of this stuff. But now it's very easy, right? It's Nemo proof. It's idiot proof. So if I can do it, anybody can do it.
This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmaker.fm/platform. That's rainmaker.fm/platform.
And now, enjoy The Missing Link with Jabez LeBret and Micah Gadia.
Welcome to The Missing Link. My name is Jabez LeBret, and we have the most amazing possible ever co-host on the planet Earth, Micah Gadia.
I look forward to my introduction every week. It's changed me in some way. Hello, hey. Mr. LeBret. How are you?
Hello, hello. It's got to be, there's no reason not to start off with a bang, right?
It's true, it's true.
And you know, it's been fantastic. Micah is probably one of the best moderators of a LinkedIn group that I've ever seen, because we have this awesome group for the Missing Link guests. It is a private group, a speakeasy style group that is secret. You can only get into it through a secret passageway. Micah, why don't you help the audience know how they get on board and get into this group?
Well, I'm super excited. We had four people join us today, and we've got two new conversations today. So, yeah, definitely join us if you're ready to take your LinkedIn marketing, your LinkedIn journey to the next level, or just to even get restarted if you're ready to do that. So if you're in the continental United States, you will pull out your mobile device and you will text us at 41411. The keyword there is going to be MyLink, MYLINK. And it will autocorrect, so please take out that space. And then if you're outside the continental United States, you will simply email us at missinglink@rainmaker.fm. And we do hope you join us if you're ready to, if you're ready to share, ask questions, and really just see what's going on in the LinkedIn marketing world. We've got three or four new articles this week. Fascinating stuff.
Yeah, it is. The group is really active. I'm super impressed.
Getting more and more active. You know, obviously the momentum has started. We've got more of our people getting active. There's a question in there right now, Jabez, that I don't know the answer to. How do I switch from one business to another? I've left a company. So it's just things like, how do we do this? How do I do that? What's the best practice for this? AJ Wilcox was in there today about some sponsored ad information that was really, really helpful.
That's fantastic. Yeah, that group is just, it's so, I guess, powerful and impactful to see people actually interacting and answering questions and asking tough questions. And I think that's, to me, what is so amazing about that group, our LinkedIn group, is that people get in there and really help each other out. So love to see the interaction. So today, on today's episode, we have a fantastic returning guest due to popular demand. And our topic is all about that little tiny, tiny important part of your online presence revolving around privacy. So we're going to be dealing with issues that revolve around your account privacy and the privacy settings in LinkedIn, which are quite, quite complex. And we've got John Nemo joining us here today on The Missing Link. So quick shout from our sponsors and we'll be right back.
The Missing Link is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform.
And welcome back. My name is Jabez LeBret. We have Micah Gadia and John Nemo. Hey, John, how's it going?
Oh, I'm doing great. I am an open book. There will be no privacy today. Ask me anything, Nemo fashion. I'm excited to be here. Thank you guys so much for having me back.
We are excited to have you back. And this is like the fastest return episode guest, because we had a little mishap with our recording yesterday. So we actually this is like repeat, like immediate.
The world
repeat.
Of podcasting. Thank you, John, for your flexibility.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. No worries. And yeah, excited. Maybe LinkedIn was listening in and crashed us. We were giving away so much good, many good nuggets.
They came in, they're like, stop it. That's too much. That is too much. Well, what I'm excited about is that we didn't get too far into it yesterday. So that means that we have a lot to learn today, myself included, because John, I just think that you're a fantastic resource for those that are looking for information on LinkedIn. And today, this topic is a little bit complex. I mean, there is no question about it. When you compare LinkedIn to other social networks, I would say their privacy settings are pretty in-depth.
Yeah, they definitely are. And of course, I mean, part of it is LinkedIn has been in the news lately, fortunately for them. with getting hacked, right? And so if you haven't seen the stories recently, LinkedIn, this goes back a little ways. I did some more research on this. And back in 2012, LinkedIn got hacked. And of course, like any good, you know, movie, except this is true, it was Russian cyber criminals, right? Those Russian hackers are at it again. And they basically hacked into LinkedIn a few years ago, like 7 or 8 million accounts got affected. And then recently they dumped out up to 100 million new accounts they thought might have been compromised. And where this story takes a really fun turn to make us all kind of feel better if we got hacked was Mark Zuckerberg got hacked, right?
Oh,
so it turns out, and this is extra research I found out from the Wall Street Journal today. So Zuckerberg got hacked from LinkedIn, and then he was using the same password on LinkedIn on Twitter and Pinterest. So all his accounts got hacked. And guess what his password was? Do you guys know what it was?
Hopefully not password.
No, but close. It was Dada. D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A.
He's ahead of like
a billion-dollar company, and his password. Not only does he use the same password for you know, multiple social media accounts, but it's so simple.
John, is this your first tip?
Yeah. So apparently, you don't have to go to Harvard to learn how to do password security. So, and I'm poking fun at Zuckerberg, but you know, that is the first big tip, of course, when we, you know, we'll get into the LinkedIn settings here in a second, but you know, the number one security tip that I would want everyone listening to take away from this, you know, related to LinkedIn or anything else is, you know, and I'm guilty of this too, but don't use the same password for all your different networks, right? You've got to mix it up. And you guys had mentioned too, there are some great resources out there as well for creating secure passwords, and you only have to remember one of those, right? Yeah,
Micah, what do you use, Micah?
I use LastPass, the free version of it. I used the premium for a little bit, but the free version actually ended up, you know, working very well for me. And I literally have probably 100 programs, you know, 40 or 50 programs that I use for work. And so there is no way possible that I can remember all those. And definitely, you know, a lot of those are payment, you know, payment places. And I'm not going to use the same password, you know, like I'm not using that.
They're good systems. Those like LastPass and 1Password. We use LastPass on the enterprise level at my company. And, you know, you can choose to either have it pick a password for you or you can choose your own password. But the passwords they pick for you are, I mean, super secure.
Oh, yeah. Numbers, letters, lowercase, uppercase, and you can pick actually 12. You can pick between 8 and 20. We recommend 20. I use typically 16. I have no idea. It's random, but, you know, but I use 16 characters per password.
Yeah, and you don't have to remember them all. That's the whole point. Yep. So with like LastPass, you just you log in with your master password, and then it just has all your profiles in there. Which does mean that your master password needs to be really, really good, though. And for heaven's sakes, don't like write it down like on like the cover of your notebook or something. You know, like I see that. Like I'm like, stop it.
Jabez, are you in my office right now? Because I have our passwords taped up next to the computer.
Oh, no.
Pizza Hut is the first one, if anybody wants to order pizza on me. So I can see thieves breaking in, and maybe they're hungry. They're jonesing for a snack, right? Middle of the night, break in, and they're like, dude, we need some free Pizza Hut. Like,
they're like,
forget the computer and TV.
It's a strategy.
That's a good strategy. But yes, guilty as charged. I'm being embarrassed on this podcast. Thanks for having me back. I really appreciate it.
Everyone is fine with their passwords right where you are. And this is simply a show where you guys can really learn how to stay safer.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, and it's no good. You don't want your system to get hacked, you know, and nope. that just is bad for you. It's bad for business. It's bad for everything. And yeah, last tip on where to store your passwords: an Excel spreadsheet is also not an appropriate place to keep all your passwords. Because I know, like, people are like, no, but it's protected by a password. And I'm like, that is not secure. Trust me. Just either get one of the systems like 1Pass or LastPass. It'll just make your life easier. But once you are ready with your secure password, and that is a unique password just for LinkedIn, there's a whole huge like slew of things you can do inside LinkedIn's, I'd say kind of like their privacy area, a portion of LinkedIn, because it goes into more than just privacy. LinkedIn has an immense amount of settings and privacy options. John, maybe you could kind of walk us through some of these.
Yeah, this is great news for everyone. So LinkedIn people rejoice if you haven't already. Like, because the system used to be so difficult. I mean, you had to have a PhD in programming to read and understand some of this stuff. But now it's very easy, right? It's Nemo proof. It's idiot proof. So if I can do it, anybody can do it. And the way to get into it, if you're on a computer or on a laptop looking at LinkedIn, on the top right corner, you'll see like your, you know, little square headshot of you. You mouse over that and then it brings up a drop down for account and settings. And then you just go down to privacy and settings and click manage. And then it brings you to a nice looking page that says across the top, you know, John or Jabez or Micah, you're the boss of your account, right? And it'll have your name and your connections and things like that and a premium level account, how long you've been a member. But then the three things I want to focus on are right across the middle there is account, privacy, and communications. And so what LinkedIn has done now is really put everything into three different buckets. So for instance, if you click on the account tab, you have an immense amount of control now with your account, with the emails, the phone numbers, changing your password. You can change your subscriptions. You can, you know, tell it whether or not you want videos to autoplay in your news feed. I mean, all kinds of things that you can really control, which is fantastic, which is well, you know, well needed, long overdue. And then also
autoplay videos. I hate autoplay videos.
Oh yeah, and I'm trying to do trainings and stuff, or you know, record a new video for my, you know, LinkedIn Riches audience, and this video will start playing. I'll get sucked into that and forget what I was talking about.
Like,
it works for a reason. But right there in the account settings, autoplay videos, you can choose if you want to turn that on or off. So yeah, thankfully there is a way to do that.
Quick note: autoplay videos work really well from a marketing perspective. I just don't like them as an individual.
Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah. Yeah.
My ADD. Yeah.
Yes. ADD kicks in for me. But there's all kinds of features in there. You can control if you want to see other people's profile photos, things like that. This is also where you can get under that account setting an archive of all your data and export all your connections and things like that. And then under privacy is really kind of what we're focused on today. And that's the middle tab. And what you'll see there is an immense ability to turn on or turn off all kinds of different settings, right? And we talked about these, you know, previously, but I mean, some of it is, you know, do you want other people to be able to see, you know, who's looking at your profile, who's not looking at your profile? If someone lands on your page, you know, that box will pull up and say, you know, people looking at your business profile also looked at these profiles. And
yeah, that's a hot topic. Yeah. If you guys want to explore whether you feel people should be able to see your connections or not.
Oh, yes. This is a great one. Yeah. And Jabez, I know you've got some strong feelings about that. What is your take on that?
I have strong feelings about most everything.
I love it.
Well, I don't, you know, Sean and I were just in the LinkedIn group having opposing views on this. And part of it boils down to how you want to accept connections is kind of before you decide if your connections should be visible. It starts with Sean only accepts connections from people that he knows or has some real legitimate connection to from somewhere. I, on the other hand...
He did change that a little bit on one show, just so you know. So now he's more open about it because he learned...
Oh, so he's coming around.
Yes.
Sean's coming around to the Jabez world.
Sean's coming around, slowly, yes.
Which is...
I think it was Trevor Turnbull that did that for him.
Yeah, So I will like connect with anybody and I have no qualms about it. As long as it's a real account and it's a human being, I will connect with them. And that's great. I love connections. To me, it's like going to a big networking event. I'll connect with anyone at that event. But that also means I had somebody a couple of years ago troll through all of my connections cherry pick the ones they wanted to connect with and reach out to, and then tell them that I said they should connect with them.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that's that. After that, I was like, no. And so I turned off See My Connections because it just isn't worth it. I mean, I was so pissed off that someone would do that. You know, I mean, I didn't say they should connect with these people, and you know, no one wants that. You know, you shouldn't do that to somebody else. And so since then I've completely blocked other people seeing my connections, and that's my personal take.
Okay.
Yeah, it was probably a Russian cyber criminal. Let's just get to it, right?
It probably was, you know. I'd like to feel like I'm that important.
My friend Jabez, say we connect. No, so, I mean, I'm with you now. I used to be more of the school of, I don't care. You know, I'm the same as you. I connect with anyone and everyone as long as it's not an obvious spam account. Because, you know, as Trevor and probably other people have said, the more connections you have, the more visibility you have on the platform, the more you show up in search results, all those things.
Right.
It's the six degrees of Kevin Bacon game. And, you know, but as far as seeing my connections, I never thought about it that way, Jabez, because I was always like, I'm not worried about it, right? I share this story about when I was in high school and dating a girl and, you know, one of my good guy friends started flirting with her and she dumped me for him. And I went and crying to my dad, you know, and this is the late 80s, early 90s. So I had my hair spiked and my jeans rolled. And
I'm wearing jeans right now.
That's right. Yes, I knew it. I love it.
That's awesome.
I love that fashion is coming back. So, and I've got the photographic evidence to prove it. But anyway, deck shoes and rolled jeans. What were we thinking? So my dad gave me this great speech at the time. And he's like, you know what? When a girl falls in love with you and really likes you for who you are, you're not going to have to worry about other guys, you know, stealing her, so to speak. And so I always took that approach with customers of, if I'm doing my job, giving great service, great product, I don't have to hide my connections and be scared that, you know, another LinkedIn trainer will come and steal them. You know, like, really? But what you said about the trolling is actually more concerning to me and legitimately from a perspective as a listener or somebody doing business on LinkedIn, I don't really see the value in, you know, having everyone look at them. I don't see a lot of business being done that way where randomly I see Jabez is connected to Joe Smith and I message him out of the blue. You can do the same thing with advanced search on LinkedIn to find the people you want to really talk to. So I would side with you on this, Jabez, just for the anti-trolling, I think, to hide that. And that is a hot topic.
Yeah. And if you do a search, an advanced search, it'll show you if we're second connections. So it's not like you never could figure out who I'm connected to. It just doesn't give you the long laundry list right there available at my profile. So I'm with you, John. I think that there's other ways, better ways to go about figuring that out. But what else as we dive in deeper to this kind of privacy setting area, which is, by the way, kudos to LinkedIn. This is it is visually and user experience wise, infinitely better than it was before.
Oh, amen. Glory. Yes, finally. I mean, it is. It's so much easier to use and look at. But one of the other key things under privacy that I wanted to mention just from a marketing and branding standpoint was, you know, viewers of this profile also viewed. And that's that little box that shows up when you're looking at someone's profile on the right-hand side toward the top. It'll say I'm looking at Jabez's profile. It'll say people are also looking at these profiles. And I like to turn that off in my privacy settings. And the reason is, unless I'm, you know, networking with Oprah and Tony Robbins and Bill Gates to demonstrate how important I am, I don't want people leaving my profile page because they got intrigued by other profiles popping up on my screen. So I would rather keep you on my page, spending more time consuming my LinkedIn content than jumping off to look at somebody who caught your eye with a job title or an image or whatever. So
I almost agree with you there. I am running a little experiment. And so we won't spend too much time on it because I'm not done yet figuring it out, but I'm working on trying to figure out if I can actually control when my profile shows up on other people's profile as the most viewed. And what I'm wondering is if there's going to be any sort of connection where people start jumping down a rabbit hole of profiles and they start going to all of my competitors maybe. So I've been targeting all of my competition and all of the thought leaders in my space and legal marketing and legal education. And my hope is that I will be the most viewed profile on everyone's profile, which intrinsically will mean that some of those people will be the most viewed on my profile. And I'm kind of trying to see if there's going to be any sort of impact of having people jump into my profile, see someone else, start leaving my profile, and then circle around and come back.
Wow.
But I don't know yet. We'll
you are, see what happens. You got a future as a Russian cyber criminal. Wait. Oh my gosh, that's good. That's ninja sunglasses. Stuff. I love it.
Well, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll save that for another episode. But I'm with you, John. I think we want to keep people on your profile. So for right now, the safest guess bet is to keep them there.
Yeah. And so some of the other ones I'll just hit quickly on, some of the highlights under privacy. You know, at the very bottom, getting back to the theme of this episode, there is an extra security layer. You can do a two-step verification to make it, you know, even more secure. So you can turn that on or off. I also like toward the bottom, there's a bunch of things for advertising preferences and sharing data with third parties. So LinkedIn, you can basically opt out of them sharing your info with advertisers or third parties. You can opt out of those annoying things where, you know, LinkedIn says, give us your email and phone number. We'll find people you should maybe connect to. Like, you can turn that off so that you don't randomly get all these people popping up every day. Like, do you know Joe Smith? You know, connect. So those are some different things under the data privacy and advertising you can kind of take care of. There's a whole blocking and hiding area, you know, for popular people like us that have cyber stalkers who we need to block, you know, with all our, you know, popularity and interest. I'm trying to say that with a straight face. I can't pull it out.
I wish I was that popular.
I wish I had stalkers. That would say I'd arrived. No stalkers yet. But, you know, then also one of the key things too is, you know, really, and we got into this a little bit before, but sharing profile edits, like, you know, whether or not you should turn that on or off. And Jabez, I liked your answer on this. So why don't you explain again your thoughts on this? And for people listening, what it is, you know, it's that big button on your profile, say, you know, yes or no, every time you change a job title or something, should the whole network of people on LinkedIn get a notification?
Should the universe? Well, certainly, if you're employed and you're looking for another job, you better be careful with that one. You definitely want that off. From a marketing perspective, my take is for the little changes, keep it off. So if you're just updating your title, nothing's really changed, updating your summary, turn it off. People don't need to see that. That's not adding value. If you are, you know, we've given this tip before where if you're adding into your experience section, a group that you're associated with, maybe you're on a board somewhere or you're an advisor to a new company and you may only be working with them on an advisory capacity, but I always say add them in your experience and talk about what you're doing there as an advisor. And then you certainly want it to be on when you're adding that sort of information. Because what that does is it sends a huge blast out to everybody that says, hey, look, you know, I'm a communications chair for the Entrepreneurs Organizations chapter here in San Francisco. And I'm on the board and I added that position to my LinkedIn profile. And I got we're up to 112 people liked the edition of this. And I have over 62, 63, 64 messages that came through. Yeah, congratulating me on this, you know, new adventure and new addition to what I do. And that's top of mind awareness right there. That's me in front of all of these different people, you know, a couple hundred people at least. And those are the ones that actually took action and did something. And so from a marketing perspective, I see a value to it if it is going to help with that kind of top of mind awareness.
Yeah, I think that's a great explanation. That's why I wanted you to share that. I think it's that balance of being visible, reminding people, putting out a new venture or something exciting versus every time you change a letter in your title, people don't need to see
right.
it.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So John, I have a question for you. This is my favorite question to ask every person that we're interviewing. And that is if you were sitting down having coffee or in a meeting with a really advanced LinkedIn user, someone who's been using LinkedIn for a long time and is a really good user, what bit of advice would you give them?
You know, I think that honestly, the biggest thing I would give people right now, because I don't see enough of it, is put more personality into your profile and your content on LinkedIn. I see that being the biggest difference maker right now with people having success marketing and selling and doing whatever on LinkedIn is injecting personality, because it's so difficult to do, right? The big debate right now is, LinkedIn's becoming too much like Facebook. No cat photos, right? Or no cats with bacon or whatever. But I think if you're able to really build a good personal brand, that does include weaving in a story about, you know, Jabez going surfing this weekend in San Francisco and relating that to a legal marketing tactic he wants to explain, right? When you're riding a wave and I'm just making it up as I go. But right, for me, it might be.
Making me sound very adventurous. I like this.
Yeah, right. When you're skydiving. Yeah, man, we're just on tip, you know, but whatever it might be, like bringing in some of who you are as a real human being is really important. I think people get so nervous on LinkedIn. We have to be, you know, suit and tie and prim and proper. This isn't Facebook. They're not human enough. And with marketing and branding and selling and content marketing and all of that, when you become, you know, likable and still can remain credible and trustworthy, that's when you really hit that sweet spot, right? When people go, I like this guy. He doesn't take himself too seriously. Or, you know what? I love his analogies about surfing because I'm a surfer. Or I like that he talks about his kids and relates that to, you know, this tip. So that would be my big thing is bring some of your personality in, figure out what that balance is for you. But that's your big differentiator because there's a million LinkedIn trainers. There's a million, you know, legal marketing people. There's a million content marketing gurus. But you, your personality is going to resonate with a certain audience and nobody else can duplicate you, you know, verbatim. At least as far as I know, we haven't perfected human cloning. So that would be my piece of advice.
John, that is really good advice. I don't know, Mike, I think back to like J.D. Gershbein's interview recently. Yep. I think kind of touches on that kind of authenticity and personality. I mean, can you think of any other interviews off the top of your head we've had that have...
That's so fun. I'm sitting here. Stephanie Sammons is in my brain. She's like, make your audience love you. And after the interview and after reviewing her site, I was like, I really do love her. Yeah. So yeah, I love that because she is so real. And John Nemo, you have that same beautiful gift of, you know, you have this, you know what I think I called it, a lovable personality.
I'm a legend in my own mind, Mike. I'll tell you right now. I want to walk out. My kids are going to tackle me and I'll take out the garbage. But I mean, it's like, we're real humans. Like we're all, and I think people relate to that. You know, when I feel like somebody lets their guard down enough to let me into their world, and this is the, like, look at Chris Brogan. You know, people like that, the big names, even Brian Clark, a copy blogger, right? Mm-hmm. I know this about him. He loves Nirvana. He loves the Denver Broncos, Texas A&M. How do I know that? Because I follow him on social media. I've never had a conversation with Brian, but I know him. I like him. And oh, by the way, you know, he runs a company that puts out incredible content that I use and buy products from. So it's like, that's that sweet spot of, or Gary Vaynerchuk's another one. And I'll think of, if the New York Jets lose, I'm going to think of Gary Vaynerchuk, which how funny is that, right?
Which is just great. That's good branding there, right there. And, you know, I think that, you know, what's important about this authenticity and being creative and being yourself and putting yourself out there, when it comes to privacy settings, the last big tip we got to give you is leave your profile pretty open. You want people to find your information. You want them to see your information. You want them to be able to fall in love with you. And they can't do that if you completely lock your profile down. So don't get too cautious that you go too far the other way. John, how do people get in touch with you? How do we go learn more from you?
Well, I put together something special because you did bring me back as a return guest. So I got a really neat gift for the audience with the missing link. If you go to LinkedInRiches.com/missing link, and hopefully we can put a link on the show page or whatever, but LinkedInRiches.com/missing link, I'm going to give you a free copy of my best-selling book, LinkedIn Riches. Free, gratis, right? Unless you're a Russian cyber hacker, then you get nothing.
They can even have it.
Oh, well, yeah, maybe they'll learn a thing or two. But, you know, it's my best-selling book. It's all my best tips on LinkedIn. I would love to, if anybody wants to connect with me on LinkedIn, of course, John Nemo on LinkedIn. And, yeah, I mean, go to LinkedInRiches.com. I've got all my info there as well, just all the general stuff. But, yeah, grab the book. It's free. It's a great read. And it's a lot of fun.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, John. It's been a pleasure. And we really appreciate you coming onto the show today and being so flexible. And Micah, thank you as well for getting us all, herding those cats and getting us all together.
Thank you guys again.
You're
so
welcome.
Much.
I love it. I love it. Thank you, John Nemo, for being you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, everybody. And this is The Missing Link. We'll see you guys again next week. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Missing Link. Tune in next week as we continue the discussion to improve your marketing on LinkedIn.